the things that he did at that time for this revolution, if today we can say, like, if Iran has the constitution today, it's because of the hard working of Shahid Beheshti, the dedication that he had on this work.
This is a natural principle, that people are affected by the rulers.
One thing very obvious about his character that made him more influential was his management skills. Not only management skills, but in the more modern sense of it, leadership qualities. He was truly a leader. And when it came to him actually leading the whole group of scholars who were working on the Iranian constitution, you can see the high capability of this person.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRab English Radio. This is the teacher you are listening to, an analysis on the thoughts and the speeches of the most outstanding Muslim thinkers, philosophers, and jurists all across the nation of Islam. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, two experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Dr. Murtaza Razazadeh and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum wa welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
You're welcome. And Dr. Razazadeh, assalamu alaikum wa welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Happy to be here.
So, Shahid Beheshti is one of the greatest scholars who was assassinated about 40 years ago at the very beginning of the establishment of the Islamic Republic of Iran. He was truly a scholar who had experience, we can say, who had studies in both fields, I mean the Islamic seminary and university. And what is known about Shahid Beheshti today is that he's considered as one of the greatest Shia scholars and philosophers who had really a reformist look at the society and with applying the Islamic laws for the Muslim lands. He was great, and we as Iranians really missed him. In this series of the program, the teacher will try to discuss some of his main important views, but through his main speeches and addresses. For today's discussion, I selected a speech by him regarding respecting the beliefs of others. Let's listen to the Farsi audio file along with the English translation, and then we'll start our discussion with the presence of the experts here.
Is the role of such free discussions weak in enlightening and guiding people? Thus, by discussions and exchange of opinions in a cooperative manner, on the one hand, and in an enlightening way, on the other hand, we can help to develop recognition of the causes behind this problem and finding possible solutions. And we can thereby succeed in deep recognition of this social pain and finding the ultimate remedy.
Welcome back, dear listeners of iRab English Radio. You're listening to the program The Teacher. In this episode, we are talking about respecting others' beliefs and establishing dialogues according to what Shahid Ayatollah Beheshti said in the Farsi audio file you listen to along with the English translation. Okay, Dr. Azadeh, what Shahid Beheshti says is this Roshangari. Mm-hmm. In fact, enlightening the minds of the people around the world. It seems that some of the actions of the Muslims, especially the extremists, is darkening the minds of the people around the world rather than enlightening it. So these two different approaches to Islam and the look at the Islam might have its own results and consequences for the Muslims and the religion of Islam all around the world. Is it true?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you said, Shahid Beheshti here is emphasizing on the concept of educating and enlightening others. And, you know, he is using this as a method in order to clarify the very important principle of freedom of thought, because Shahid Beheshti starts with this principle. I just want us not to miss this. Shahid Beheshti first says that, because this is an answer to this very important question, that does Islam say anything about the freedom of thought or not? Shahid Beheshti here very truly emphasizes that, yes, of course, freedom of thought is one of the very important principles that has been completely recognized in Islam in many different verses of Quran. I mentioned one of them, or the other very famous verse that says there is no compulsion in religion. And also other thinkers in Islam have always said that freedom of thought and having the right to freely choose what is right and wrong is something that has been completely not only recognized, it has been emphasized in the Quran, because taking it from the people will be a type of violating their basic rights. But then Shahid Beheshti goes to the second point. Okay, what is the method in order to establish this, in order to make this happen in the society? He says by education. Public education, I mean public in its, I mean in its special meaning. He says if we want people to understand this important concept, we need to make them aware of this reality.
That's right.
We cannot force people to know the importance of freedom of thought.
The role of the scholars.
Yeah,
here is
the
very
role
important.
Of the scholars, the role of, okay, you know, dialogue. Mm. The best way to clarify everything, he says, yes, just make people. And Sayyid also mentioned in the previous session that the role of the prophets in the Quran is just like a teacher or a reminder.
Okay.
They have come to remind people.
That's
and
right.
to teach people and to educate people. The result of that, mm-hmm, will be an ideal society.
Thank you much, Dr. Zazadeh. It depends on the Muslims' behaviors themselves too. I think never in the religion of Islam and Prophet Muhammad's teachings and also the Ahlul Bayt, they said that the Muslims are the best creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. Is it so? Because if we take this thought for granted, that we as the Muslims are the best and they have to listen to us, then no dialogue is going to be established, is it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah has said in the Quran, Allah has said, "Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum." The best of you near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, akramakum, who's most near towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's most generous in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ataqakum, the one who's more like God-very, who's,
yes,
the God-veriest,
yes,
or who varies God more than the others, taqwa, who has taqwa. That is the criteria in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's first thing. On the other side, obviously, we have, for example, it is said like, qawlun ma'roof, it is better than the sadaqah. Also, it is said like when you say a good speech, it is better than obviously the facade or maybe the killing. So there are different terminologies or different ways it's been explained.
That's right.
The problem that comes in the Muslim Ummah or maybe in the other school of thoughts as well, or maybe the other religions. For example, we have seen Hindus killing Muslims.
Yes.
In India, in Myanmar, we have seen this.
Yes.
Zionist regime over the obviously Palestinians, the Muslims. The
problem, Saudi Arabia, you
Saudi
know,
Arabia
the Muslims
killing the
Muslims.
Muslims. Yes,
yeah.
Muslim killing Muslims. And the Wahhabis or Salafis is ISIS.
That's right.
The problem is they did not understand the definition of respecting others' beliefs. They think if you respect others' belief, it means to accept what they say. This is not the actual meaning of respecting. The respecting means that if someone has another belief, and you cannot convince him, obviously we need to convince a person. We need to bring reasons so that he's convinced.
That's right.
If he's not being convinced by my reasoning, by what I'm providing to him, then obviously I need to respect because I lack in something. And if he understands everything and after that he denies, he is kafir, being a disbeliever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has azab for him, punishment. It's not me being a person punish that person. Why, if this was the case, then why there is a rule of jizya in Islam?
Mm-hmm.
We have different rulings.
Yes.
Non-Muslim living in a Muslim territory, Muslim state has to pay tax so that this Muslim state will protect his property and everything from the robbers and all the other
and
things.
And his rights.
Obviously. But obviously,
okay,
he is free to live over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the Muslim state, the owner of the Muslim state or the leader will kick him out of the Muslim state.
No.
It's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
There are specific rules. Why there are those specific rules? It's because it is based on the humanity.
Okay.
It is based on the respect of the speech. So that's first thing that we lack.
That's
enlightening,
right,
comes from the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. The problem is, in today's world, that's what we have, or throughout the history, if we can see, we lack knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
we lack knowledge of Quran and the Prophet or the Ahlul Bayt.
Yes.
We lack this.
As the Muslims,
truly,
you know, yeah.
truly, right now, if we look at ourselves, how many of us mm-hmm. know exactly what Quran talks about? We have heard from this scholar, that scholar, maybe a person comes, or maybe in the month of Ramadan, we just read Quran,
yes.
the Arabic phrases, not even the translation. We never, ever went to understand. And that's why Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei, he refers when he wrote the letter to the youth of the West, he said, go find Islam from its original sources, which is Quran.
That's right.
That's what we're lacking.
Okay.
The problems that we see in today's world is because we are not educated by ourselves. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, we do not understand what these things means. Respect of the other's beliefs means when he is in front of you, don't disrespect his, mm-hmm. for example, like the things that he believes. Even in the Quran, they said, like, do not say bad to the idols in front of the mushrikeen,
yeah.
the polytheists,
yeah,
because they will say bad to your God.
That's right.
So when Quran is talking like this, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this attitude with the people, mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the creator, his enemies were, for example, Fro or Namrud or maybe the others. Could Allah kill them for the very first day?
Mm-hmm.
Why he left them? Why he sent prophets towards them? Even they said, like, we are
in
God.
In order to establish dialogue between them. That's
exactly.
Right.
In okay. order to establish dialogues.
Okay.
With the dialogues, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he went with Harun alayhi salam. Why he showed miracles? So to have the dialogue so that they do their own job that is sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
Because Allah has mercy upon us. He's merciful. Rahim, Rahman.
That's right.
He has created us. He loves us. Mm-hmm. He does not want us to be killed like animals or
yeah.
the way these extremists are doing. That's why we say these extremists, for example, ISIS, Taliban, these are not the Muslims.
These
Please don't
the
count
Muslims.
Them as Muslims.
No.
Because they never understood the teachings of the Quran or what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to convey.
That's right. The best examples out of the dialogues is Prophet Muhammad himself had dialogues with the Jews of Mecca.
Yes.
You can say this is one of them. Imam Reza alayhi salam, you know, the Shia Imam, he's famous for having and establishing dialogues with different scholars from different denominations, from the Christians and the Jews, and they are recorded, you know, all of them in Arabic. I think, Dr. Reza Zadeh, it overweights the responsibility of the Muslims themselves. They have to add to their information and knowledge about Islam, because when a non-Muslim comes to me as a Muslim and asks me, okay, how Islam defines peace for me and how does Islam talks about interfaith dialogue or establishing dialogue with the other religions, what my answer would be as a Muslim to him. This is very important.
Yeah, when we have not answered the questions about Islam for ourselves, we will not be able to answer it for others.
Okay.
This is very clear. And if we think we are responsible for actually defending our beautiful religion and clarifying some of these misunderstandings and removing them, we need to educate ourselves first. We need to learn from our Prophet, just like what Quran says, لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In the Prophet of God, there is a good exemplar for you.
That's right.
And he has been a person who not only answered the question of others, but also the method and the way that he engaged in talking to others was mind-blowing, actually, you know. There are principles for a successful discussion and for a successful dialogue.
Okay.
One of the most important principles that sometimes we do not have in mind or we forget is that it is not enough to only be good speakers. It's also important to be good listeners.
That's right.
And this is what we really need from our Prophet. So when we talk about the importance of dialogue, it does not mean dialogue is important only. It means that we need to do dialogue and we need to do it in a proper way. This very important feature in the Prophet was to the extent that some of the, let's say, unbelievers and also some of the hypocrites, they started actually bothering and annoying the Prophet and saying that he listens to other people too much. This had been mentioned in the Quran.
Okay.
In chapter 9, verse 61, God says, among them, I mean those unbelievers, there are those who torment the Prophet and say, he is an ear. You know, they named the Prophet as ear. Mm-hmm. Why did they do that? Because the Prophet kept listening to others so much, like a very kind father who keeps listening to others very passionately, instead of praising
and
him.
And patiently.
And patiently, that's absolutely, right. Yeah. Okay. And, you know, those unbelievers and hypocrites, instead of praising him for this very beautiful feature, okay, they start actually bothering him. They start mocking him.
Yeah.
But God Almighty in the Quran says, this is amazing. This is because of his kindness. Mm-hmm. This is an absolutely wonderful feature, wonderful trait that the Prophet has, and we need to learn from him.
If you
we
do not listen, you cannot establish dialogue
exactly
between you, yourself, and the others. This is important. Even in the most tragic event of the history that took place, that is the tragedy of Karbala,
yes,
we could see Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam all listening and talking, even to the enemy, at the harshest moments of the wars and the battles between he and the army of, you can say, Yazid. He is just inviting them to peace.
He kept looking for opportunities for discussion.
Keep rolling for the discussion between he himself and his companions, and also the enemy. And this is beautiful, you know, that Islam is a religion of dialogue. And when you talk to the new converts to the religion of Islam, this is what they found in Islam, that Islam is a religion of peace and dialogue. And through this dialogue, they were encouraged to embrace Islam. Even in the 21st century, we could see so many people every day converting to the religion of Islam. So for sure, truly, the religion of Islam is the religion of peace, dialogue, discussion, not war, not killing, not assassination, not suicide bombing and
not
killing
forcing
others
to accept what they don't want to accept.
That's all right. This Rahmani picture of the Islam has been shown to the people around the world, inshallah. Thank you much, Dr. Rezazadeh.
You're welcome.
And Said Mohsen Naghvi for a nice elaboration regarding respecting others' beliefs and establishing dialogue with others according to what Shahid Ayatollah Beheshti said. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. Do not forget to visit our website, parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also, our YouTube channel, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. علم